Chapter 39. Party, party, party. I quickly adjusted to a very different way of life as a student in San Miguel de Allende, the picturesque Mexican town founded in 1542. By way of comparison, this was 222 years before Captain Cook planted the British flag on the beach at Botany Bay, taking all of Australia for England's King George III. My mother and I'd been sharing an apartment for some months before I met and was later befriended by Beto, a San Miguel hotelier. This casual friendship changed things dramatically on the domestic front, after which my mother asked me to move out. When Beto became aware of my situation, he suggested I might like to move into his empty house whilst he was away in the United States, studying hotel management at Cornell University. He would be gone for 3 months. I'd made two new friends from within the student body. Japanese-American Elsa Takes Sui from Hawaii, via San Francisco, and Esther Kellerman, also from San Francisco. Both women would play a major role in my life, as the relationship with my mother continued to spiral downwards. At the same time, Elsa was having landlady problems. Out of the blue, Beto made another suggestion, this time to help Elsa out. He proposed that she and I share his house whilst he was away. Elsa was suitably grateful, and so was I, as I now had a fun housemate. Elsa was a fantastic cook, and it was her idea to hold a small farewell to Beto gathering before he left town. So just before she moved out of her apartment, she invited Beto, his two friends, Jorge and Jaime, and myself, to bring our favorite national dessert to the gathering to share. That evening, Beto brought rice pudding. Jorge brought creme caramel. Jaime brought churros. Elsa made anko from azuki beans. And I made roll of drums. Pavlova. The traditional Australian dessert. I'd not made a pavlova before, and the result was a slightly overcooked, chewy meringue base, partly concealed with a thick layer of whipped cream, and topped with a selection of fresh berries. Thankfully, it was well received by the others, their first and possibly their last encounter with pavlova. After Beto left for the United States, Elsa moved in. Almost every weekend, we hosted extraordinary dinner parties, often with a Japanese theme. Jorge was seriously into Stevie Wonder and was often heard muttering, "I love black music," as he played Stevie's recently released Inner Visions LP, over and over. The experience gradually morphed into what could best be described as a most congenial meeting of diverse cultural influences, both culinary and auditory. Even though Elsa and I enjoyed living in Beto's house, we knew it was a stopgap measure, so we were on the lookout for alternate accommodation. Just before Beto's return, Judy Robertson came to the rescue, offering me a room to rent at her house, and Elsa managed to find an apartment closer to town. After I'd paid Beto for the use of his house and moved out, our friendship fizzled. When I moved into Judy's house, I discovered that I'd swapped one party central for another. On weekends, we often invited the local ranchers, lecturers, fellow students, and on one occasion, a gangster from the north of Mexico, to join us to consume vast quantities of beer at 28 cents a bottle, whilst enjoying a mariachi band playing timeless Mexican songs. I well remember on one occasion, a nameless guest, who was having such a good time, pressed a 1,000 peso note, $80, into my hand. This generous contribution more than covered the cost of all the beer for the evening, as well as the mariachi band. My study was going well too. Thankfully, I was able to remain focused on my work in spite of the reverberations created by ongoing family dramas. In the summer term of 1974, I carried a 5-subject load. Aesthetics. Mexican social problems. Anthropology. Botany. And fabric decoration. For the latter that summer, we were lucky to have Bill Hines as our lecturer. He came from the Chicago Art Institute, one of the best art schools in the United States. And he brought with him new techniques and manotecs, a thickening agent for liquid dye. With thickened dye, it was possible to create amazing effects by drawing on fabric, particularly rayon velvet. Until Bill's arrival, I'd been refining my batik skills to produce a series of stylish one-piece wraparound dresses, and I was struggling to meet the demand. Now, with Menatex, I had another string to my bow, and used the technique to create a series of dramatic synthetic velvet garments. While publicized fashion parades were a regular Saturday morning event at the Instituto, and attracted large crowds. Ahead of time, I organized the running order for both the models and the garments, including my own. The parades were compared by my mother, her British accent providing an unexpected touch of class. To my delight, there was a steady demand for this elegant new range of Menatex garments, and the soft leather commissions also kept coming. I was thoroughly enjoying the sweet taste of commercial success that provided extra cash for the endless meters of fabric I needed for new creations. Towards the end of 1974, fellow student Esther Kellerman offered me the use of her apartment whilst she and her husband returned to the United States to formalize the citizenship papers for their recently adopted Brazilian baby. They planned to be away for 3 months. Counting my blessings, I packed my things and farewelled Judy before moving into Esther's apartment. San Miguel was a magnet for Mexicans, many of whom came from the capital, particularly on the weekends. In Mexico, there were many opportunities to party, because the country has 45 official public holidays per year. The well-to-do could escape the noisy, polluted city to explore quaint provincial centers, like San Miguel. As well as being a charming colonial town, San Miguel had the additional draw card of numerous young foreign women who were studying at the Instituto. At that time, San Miguel's most popular nightclub was La Fragua. One Saturday night, I found Elsa entertaining three fellas from Mexico City, who'd come to enjoy a spot of rustic provincial fun, and I was invited to join them. One of the fellas was photographer Carlos Contreras de Oteiza, who, when I got to know him better, waggishly declared San Miguel la fantasía de Walt Disney. I particularly enjoyed his quirky sense of humor, and as it turned out, Carlos was to become my next romantic interest. Unbeknownst to me, I was about to embark on a profoundly rich life-changing experience orchestrated by Carlos, his family, and his wide circle of fascinating friends. On reflection. My mother. When I arrived in Mexico, I was a responsible, independent young woman accustomed to making my own decisions. My mother often disagreed with my choices, prompting hostile outbursts. As the arts community in San Miguel was small and tight-knit, it wasn't long before word got around. While aware of this, I suffered bouts of confusion and embarrassment as my mother's bewildering outbursts continued, mostly in private, and occasionally in front of boyfriends. To this day, I wonder why. What was the trigger? Feeling left out? I'll never know. Fashion. I've always enjoyed making quirky one-of-a-kind garments, mostly for myself, sometimes for sale and occasionally for others. And Mexico was a wake-up call. It showed me that a career in funky fashion could be a possibility, particularly now I'd seen how Judy's workroom operated, whilst I was living with her. Esther Kellerman. Living in Esther's comfortable apartment for 3 months was a lifesaver. In 2000, she came to visit me in Toowoomba, Australia. Whilst she was here, I took the opportunity to ask her why she'd offered me her apartment. She replied, "Your talent was obvious, and we wanted to keep you in school." I discovered that Esther was one of a number of people who could see the family pressure I was experiencing. They were concerned that I may be forced to scurry back to Australia to escape my mother's off-the-wall outbursts, thereby forfeiting the opportunity to complete my study. Study. As a mature-age student, I was determined to wring every last drop out of my Instituto Allende experience. Monday to Friday, I diligently applied myself to study projects, and on weekends I socialized with the same intensity. My mantra was, study hard and party harder. Facts. Stevie Wonder. African-American singer-songwriter, born in 1950. Inner Visions was released in 1973 and was Beto's friend Jorge's favorite at the time. He played the LP on high rotation whenever he visited us at Beto's house. Elsa Takes Sui. Elsa completed her Master of Fine Arts degree and returned to Hawaii. In 1979, she was killed in a traffic accident. After her death, the Elsa Takes Sui Memorial Scholarship was set up under the auspices of Hawaii Hand Weavers Hui to support new weavers. Vale, Elsa.